Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I felt overall just, you know, we were able to add players that fit our DNA. And look, it's always a projection, right, because of just the way free agency is. That said, we feel like we were able at this point to add players that love to compete, love to work hard, and can help our football team in some way, shape, or form, in some fashion. So the biggest thing with it is there's a projection, right? Like there always is with free agency. The biggest thing we've got to do is integrate them into the guys we already have. And that takes time. And every year you've got to build a team. And I've said this before, you've got to build a team, put a team together, build the chemistry, get to know one another. And so that's a process that takes time.
How, for you, defensive-minded, and last year's focus was on defense, but to go with, 12 offensive players to three of the 15 UFAs you signed, from your standpoint, did you feel your defense got a little neglected, and how do you sort of plan to address that?
Look, we were out to find the best players we could that could help our football team, and we acknowledge that there were significant holes on the offensive side. That said, I don't think necessarily we were out to say we have to ignore the defensive players that are on the board and just go all offense. You know, we were out to find the best football players that we felt like could help our football team, regardless of offense, defense, or special teams.
Do you you said you like to have a leader in every position? How do you feel that's coming along in your roster?
Yeah, I feel, I would say overall, if you look at where we are versus where we ended the season, I feel like we've made progress in that area. I don't think we're where we want to be yet in that area, and that takes time. You go back to when I was in Carolina in the Super Bowl year, we felt like we had that, and that took time to get there. But I would say that at this point in the process of the offseason, I feel like we're further along in that area by being able to add guys like Frank Gore and some of the other guys we added through the process of free agency.
How important is it, Sean, really, in the grand scheme of things for Josh, to be the guy? Like right now, he's going to walk into every camp, no more one-third of reps or half of reps. He is the guy all summer. How important is that?
Well, number one, it adds clarity to our situation, which is a good thing. So, last year I've already gone back and looked at the reps, and we were trying to split the reps as evenly as we could so that our threes could develop as much as our ones, and sometimes that's hard to do, but we know that Josh was running with the threes, and so there was a process in place that we felt like was right for us and his development then, and so moving forward to now, there will be a process in place where he'll be out there with the ones, and you try and get as much continuity with the guys that work with him starting day one all the way through hopefully training camp.
Do you see it as a particular challenge that you have all these new faces, so many new players, and a lot of them are going to start, and to get them to mesh in year one or from the start, what is that challenge like for you as a coach?
Yeah, that's the challenge every year. The less continuity you have, the bigger the challenge, right? So it's a challenge to bring guys together that are coming off of different teams, in particular with how heavy we went in free agency. That's some of the risk of free agency inherently. That said, we needed to improve our football team from a roster standpoint. So that's also why you do the research that Brandon and his staff did, Joe Shane and so on and so forth, to try and close the gap as much as possible when it comes to knowing the players in free agency. It's a slippery slope, the process of free agency. But again, we tried to go with our critical factors of what we feel like could close that gap as much as possible.
Is it a balance between, it's widely assumed you've made your team better by addressing all these spots and you feel good about the guys you got. But there's the other part of it is the balance of how long does it take to get better with what you got? Do you see it as it has to be instant because that's what you guys are paid to deliver, or can patient, is there room for patience? In your,
with respect to free agency,
coming,
I mean?
Yeah, this impact being what you need it to be like now, this year.
Listen, I'm grateful for the opportunity that we had to add those players. I mean, the cap money this year, the cap money last year, two different scenarios, right? So those were necessary, you know, going through some of that, just trying to be, you know, judicious with how we handled it the previous years because we really didn't have a lot of flexibility. Or we just kept, we could have just taken an irresponsible approach and just kept kicking it down the road, and that's not how you build it. So we took this year and said, hey, now we have a chance, some flexibility to spend, and let's not just spend irresponsibly, but let's target the guys that we feel like that are out there that can help us. You can only target what's out there, right? So now you say, okay, now we've got these guys, these names on the paper. Well, how do we bring them all together and form a cohesive team? And that's the challenge every year, in particular when you're building it, where there's a significant influx of new people. And in free agency, when they're coming from different locker rooms, sometimes they pick up good habits, and sometimes just the nature of being a veteran, you pick up habits that aren't so good. So the important thing is that we take a team-first, selfless approach to our basically our journey this year.
Were you able to get in touch with Andy Reid at all before you signed Mitch Morris and kind of just get some intel on the guy you were getting?
You know, yes and no. You know, it's a tricky deal there because sometimes you're not sure where they stand on the player, and also you don't want to tip your hand and as it relates to the days and weeks leading up to free agency. So he and I have spoken, more so via text about Mitch, and you know, so he had nothing but great things to say about Mitch.
Yeah, what do you think of the guy you're getting there? It seems like fits what you're looking for in a person.
Yeah, you know, again, I'll get to know more as I get side by side with Mitch, but in the short returns are very positive. I enjoyed meeting him when he came in the days after free agency when it kicked off and signed the deal. And so I think it's just going to be like anything else. You know, the more I get to know him, the more his teammates get to know him and vice versa, the better off we'll be. And that again, is how I believe you build a team. And it seems in a short amount of time that he's focused on the team first approach, and that's what we subscribe to.
In terms of rebuilding an offensive line, how important is it to have a leader in the middle?
Yeah, that's huge. You know, look, we've got Russ and Spencer already in. We felt like in the boat, and then to be able to add a guy like Mitch, and we felt like, you know, from a leadership standpoint, the DNA that he was going to bring to the table, that position in particular, looking back at my history in Carolina with Ryan Khalil, a guy that can come in, be the leader of the room, set the table in terms of the communication, build a cohesive connection with our young quarterback, that's key.
Based on how much you're able to find this out with the rules and such, with contact with players, how satisfied are you with Josh Allen's approach to this offseason? The amount of time he's putting in and what he's doing, how much can you know about that? And if so, what's your level of satisfaction that he's embracing what Sal mentioned about, hey, he's the guy, you know, he fully knows he's the guy now as opposed to last year.
Right. You know, the important thing is that he develops and takes ownership of his development, takes ownership of his career. And this offseason is an important part of that, or important chapter in that process in his career, and then subsequently our success in Buffalo. So, you know, again, it's to your point of the rules, and it's hard to really know because we're handcuffed a little bit in that regard. That said, when you draft a player, you try and get to know him enough that he would be a responsible You know, just basically shepherd of his career when he's not with us, right? So, you know, we feel like he's had a pretty good offseason to this point from what we're able to tell. Again, I think you got to manage expectations with that. This is a time of year where people kind of just get out in front of them, too far in front. And look, we're trying to put a team together. I think the bottom line is Josh is a big part of that. His leadership, probably better said, is and Tremaine's leadership will be key to our success at a young age, because we've lacked, as you guys know, that there's a gap with what was last year year three and year four players. There was an absence of that influence in our locker room, and so we did add some of that in free agency. But you know, at the end of the day, Josh and Tremaine on the offensive defensive side are two young players that are going to have an added amount of responsibility from a leadership standpoint this year. In terms of like where we are in the process of, yeah. I mean, I could tell you this. I feel better today than the day I walked in the door. So whatever that means to you and to everyone gathered. Well, because I believe I've been around two situations like this. Once in Philadelphia with Andy, and again once in Carolina with Ron. And I know the cycle of how this thing works, and each one, though, is a little bit different. So when we came in, we had a situation where we had a team that was a little bit older. We had a team that had some leadership on it, and we had a team that we weren't able to re-sign a lot of guys when we got here because we were challenged with the salary cap. We were challenged, like I said, with the draft and the lack of developing of players. And so when you take over a team, you take them over in a lot of different situations, right? So sometimes you have a quarterback, sometimes you don't. Like when you go into a team, I'm saying. Sometimes your salary cap's in a good shape, sometimes it isn't. And so, you know, I would just say that overall, you know, we had a lot of areas that we needed to address. And that first year, I felt like our team really came together, understood who they were. We're falling out all over the place here. And then... And then last year we were extremely young, and I think that was, it's hard as you're going through it, Joe, but it's part of the process of getting it right. And again, we could have gone into year two and said, hey, let's just kick that can down the road, let's be what I would consider irresponsible and continue to do what's been going on in terms of just spend, and yet, so as a coach and as a GM, I'm sure for Brandon, that going through last year, we were so young, it's hard because we want to win, believe me. You wake up early in the morning, go to bed late at night with it on your mind all the time. That said, the part of the growth of that comes out of it and the positive of it was you watch the energy and the enthusiasm of the football team, in particular in the last 6 and 7 games, and the way they played and the experience they got. Now we're going to use that experience and energy and enthusiasm to continue to carry us forward as we continue on the climb.
Coach, Maurice Alexander has been a safety, but I know he's played a little linebacker. You guys listed him as a linebacker. What role do you envision him having on your defense?
He'll, you know, more of a linebacker position for us. And again, you know, we'll see when he gets on the field. But at this point, more of a linebacker.
I remember we sat here a year ago and a lot of questions about wide receiver, and then there was a lot of turnover on the roster. Can you just kind of give us your thoughts on where that position stands now, especially considering where we were 1 year ago with that spot?
Well, like to Joe's question, I feel like we're better today than we were a year ago. That said a lot. You know, we need to get on the field and see where we are. Availability is key, guys being healthy, guys that we get a better feel for through the free agency period, and now they're ours, but we really can't work with them yet. So once we get a better feel for Cole and John, and we'll see how they integrate into who we already have. And I do like the element of speed that we were able to add to the equation. I think Cole is a good slot player, and that's important, right? So, I'll know more once we get into camp and work with the guys.
How much were you able to rectify in your mind Alexander's background of getting booted off his college team, punching a teammate, all that? Did you, what was your research on that?
Yeah, Brandon and Joe do a good job with that, so I trust their process as they go through it.
Sean, we've heard Brandon talk after a lot of these moves about wanting to continue to build competition. Is that how in certain position areas?
Yeah, I mean that's part of when you're trying to put together the roster. You always want to add pieces of competition to every position, and that's ideally you have a leader in every room, and you've got high levels of competition in every room, because competition brings out the best in all of us. And I think when we look at the DNA of the players that we're trying to target, it's the competitor versus the football player, right? So the better the competitor, the better the football player, and that's part of the ingredients that we look for. And so guys that are afraid to compete aren't going to work in Buffalo. Guys that are afraid of the confrontation, they're not going to work. We want guys that love to compete, that are not afraid of that confrontation, whether it's a physical confrontation, a mental confrontation, or what. That's an important part of the DNA we look for.
Sean, there was a lot of questions about LeSean's future. You guys have been very confident and said from the beginning that he's a part of this team. What makes you confident that LeSean can have that bounce back year and be, you know, as effective as he was before?
Well, you look at the history, number one, that the skills have been there, and then you look at, I went back along with our offensive staff and we looked at why the results were the way that they were last year. How much was on LeSean, how much was on the other pieces involved, and so we all took ownership of that, right? And so that's where it starts. And then I know that LeSean is driven to be the best, and that's been proven over his career, over the course of his career, and so... I'm excited to see LeSean when he gets back and see how he and Frank work together with the other running backs that'll be in the room, Pat DeMarco and so on and so forth, and I think it'll be a good combination.
The replay rule, you know, the discussion about expansion of replay, where do you stand on that? I guess, you know, in a broader sense, the organization's position.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's the bottom line is – what happened in the Saints NFC Championship game, to me, that's the low-hanging fruit that we have to get corrected. And whatever that means, and I know there'll be, you know, votes today, tomorrow, what have you, and maybe even after that, that's the part of our game that we can't have happen. I believe that officials have one of the toughest jobs on the field on game day. The game's extremely fast. There are going to be calls that are missed. The ones that are that big that affect the outcome of a game, in particular when you go any game, number one, but when you go from a potential Super Bowl type of situation, we've got to get that right.
Would you be – there's a few of the resolutions or proposals, I guess, to kind of take it less out of your hands to have to challenge things and put it more in – more plays reviewed and things like that. I mean, do you want the league to go that way, or is it, hey, you know what, it's humans, they're going to make mistakes, and, you know, we'll try to correct them when we can?
Yeah, I think that's, we overlook that once in a while with respect to the officials. They are human, and they're going to make mistakes. I think what we can do is try and control what we can control, and that means being able to help them in certain situations. I'm just a believer in the more cracks that are on the ice, the harder it is to skate fast. And so using that analogy, the more layers that are on things, the more rules that are in and this and that, they have a tough job as it is. And so let's find ways to add clarity to what they do and allow them to execute with that in mind.
Sean,
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tyler was a guy that we targeted in free agency. You know, really, when you look at his game, we looked in particular at the year when he became the starter when Eifert was down, and how he stepped up and took hold of that opportunity, and then what he's able to do, you know, in the pass and the run game. So in meeting him when he came in, he and his wife, again, another good interaction, and a guy that's positive, and he's actually from not too far that I grew up, in a place where I grew up. So I know his high school coach a little bit. So just all the reviews we had heard about him as a person were positive. And then with Jake, it's, you know, look, it's a position change, right? So it's a projection. Being able to block at the point of attack is important at that position. It's hard to find anymore in the college game. So, thanks, Derek. Is that for Vic or is that for me?
I'm going to guess it was Vic. I'm sure you're
fine. He's tapping out. They're kind of two different players. But that point of attack ability is important at the tight end position.
How much of a relief was it?
Yeah, I liked it when we were on offense and it was third and about five and we could get it. I knew we were going to get a first down because we had Greg Olsen, you know. Same could be said in a similar fashion to, and again, two different players, but Chad Lewis in Philadelphia that we had. Not a celebrated player, not as celebrated as Greg, but I remember time after time, third down, second and ten, we get back to third down and five, you know. Red zone. So at an early age, you know, I feel like that I learned how important that tight end position is to a quarterback, and in particular a young quarterback. It becomes a security blanket.
Now that said, thoughts on Rob Gronkowski retiring, you not having to game plan against him twice a year?
You guys working this together, huh? Segue?
Well, we're on tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was a great player. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. So we've got a lot of time between now and the season. And when it starts and when it ends, but nothing but respect for the way he played the game and what he's been able to do in the run game, the pass game. I'm not just talking, you know, in the flat. I'm talking down the seam. He's a tough matchup.
Was his blocking really kind of under-talked about because he was such a good pass catcher?
Like, yeah, I think it got better. It got better over the years, you know, and I think it's probably – just understanding the game. That's, you know, it's hard to find guys, as the question was asked earlier, that can do both. Yeah. And he could certainly do both at a high level.
Sean, Carolina went long short. He came on board and started to develop. How did he change the face of the defense?
Yeah, that's big. That's really big. To be able to pressure from the inside and, you know, people would argue that there's ways to take away the edge rusher more than there is ways to take away the inside, the interior rusher, and I would probably agree. That the ability to pressure and affect the quarterback from the inside out is critical when you want to play good football on defense. And so, you know, you got to make sure that you've got enough of those guys.
We haven't asked you about E.J. Gaines yet, you're re-signing E.J. Gaines. Just your thoughts on why that was...
Yeah, again, adding competition to our roster, a guy that we know to an extent, having had EJ our first year, and he's offers position flex with being able to play outside, being able to play inside. That nickel position is important, you know, and so you know, Kevin can do some of that as well, and obviously with Taryn. So, and he's got ball production when he was with us at least. And so, you know, he knows. I think, look, again, some of the key words I keep coming back to are continuity. Even though EJ was gone, he's a guy that knows what we expect and how we expect it done. He knows the system to some extent. I'm sure he'll need to be polished up a little bit, but you know, I think he'll add nicely to the room that we've got, and he's going to have to work. He's going to have to earn it, you know. Yeah, I mean, similar. And I would just say perception and reality are not always the same, right? Spend a day, spend a week in Buffalo, get around the people, get around the city, get around the energy in our city. And people that say that, in my opinion, haven't spent that time and really maybe don't want to spend that time. So to me, that's on them, right? In the time that I've been in Buffalo, my family's been in Buffalo. I mean, I didn't realize how important fit was when I was going through the interview process with the different teams to become a head coach. I am very grateful to have ended up, and this is going to be said of all 32 teams, in Buffalo with the Bills because of the fit and because of the people and because of the tradition. So what more could you ask for from a city that football to me is important to the city of Buffalo? That's not the case in every city. So people want to pump palm trees and this and that and weather and this and that. Come to Buffalo where football is important to the people. There's a couple outside of our building. You guys, have you seen those? Huh? You haven't seen them?
No, I haven't.
Right in front of the facility. Have you? No, they're right out in front as soon as you walk in the main lobby. You guys haven't seen them?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, it was certainly high on the list, helping Josh, giving him weapons that we feel like could help him, help our offense at the end of the day, right? You've got to, I said this before, you've got to have a well-balanced team in order to be a legitimate threat in this league year in and year out. So I'm not a big, even though I have a defensive background, I'm not a big proponent of winning or trying to win 7-6 every week. I think that's a hard life to live. It's hard to sustain wins every week when you're winning that way. There's only a few teams, if you look at history, that have been able to do that and progress, you know, deep into the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. So you've got to be able to score points in this league. That's a big piece of it. I mean, it's all part of the process. When you look at successful quarterbacks over the course of time, like the last 15 years, for example, the commonalities between successful quarterbacks are usually offensive line play and then guys that can get separation on the perimeter. So whether that means a tight end, a slot receiver, or an outside receiver, those are the two commonalities of successful quarterbacks dating back to the last 15 years. So let's just start there and say we needed to upgrade some of those areas.
Do you expect Matt and Taryn to be available for mini camps?
Yeah, they're on schedule. I mean, they'll be, I imagine, I haven't gotten the update from Nate, but they're on schedule, looking good, and I'm sure that there'll be some form of modification maybe early, but they're progressing nicely. Nick, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you.
I wanted to ask you about your impressions again about Penn State wrestling, and you know, I guess you talked to Kale. Are you going to have Kale up to talk to the team?
Yeah, I'd like to. We'll see. I know he's got a busy schedule, but I had had an opportunity to visit there at Penn State the day before they left for the national tournament, and just to be around their culture, around their building for a day was phenomenal. Obviously, the connection between Terry Pegula and Penn State is an obvious one, and got a lot of respect for what they do up there, and to win the number of national championships that they've won, the way that they've won them, I think speaks volumes for their program. But I was very grateful for the opportunity to spend the day with them and their staff, and be around their practice a little bit and watch what they do and how they do it. So just it's incredible the way that they've sustained success over the course of, you know, 9, 10, 11 years there.
Did you do anything differently in the room that you noticed?
Well, I don't want to give too many of his secrets away, but I just think when you watch the NCAAs on television, and then you watch their wrestlers wrestle with tremendous gratitude and humility, and understanding that there's bigger picture perspective involved. They do a great job of balancing the expectations and then also life. And I think that comes from the top down. That's a leadership quality that obviously Cale lives, number one, and then obviously communicates that to his team.
Do you think there's still a big wrestling football crossover, or maybe it's not as big as it used to be?
Yeah, we look for that. I mean, at the combine, we'll ask the players what other sports they've played, and so that's one of the sports that we look for when you're talking about leverage, hips, hand fighting, balance. To me, you know, I think every football player, in particular interior lineman, should come up with a wrestling background. In fact, there's a couple guys on their team that I'd like to convert to football players if we could, in particular that heavyweight that they've got. We're getting deep. Except there's no breakfast. It's just the round table. What have I learned about me? Now I'm going to kind of build on what I just shared with being around the program at Penn State, the wrestling program. Look, I'm very grateful for this opportunity. Every day that I'm here, you know, I walk around. I did it this morning. I went for a workout. Actually saw Derek. And when you say, hey, look, I'm grateful because of this opportunity that I've been given to be the head coach of a football team, in particular the Buffalo Bills. And then with that, I think over the course of time, people change because of positions. And I feel like that's one thing that I've said that I'll never do. And I'm fortunate because I have a good support system in the building and outside of the building with my family that holds me to that. And then I'm fortunate to be around a group of players that I love being around. And I'm so protective of those guys that we add the right pieces to that. And, you know, I've always said I'm gonna try and do this thing the right way. If I ever had the opportunity, I would try and do it the right way. And that's, so you keep, look, when you go from year one to year two to year three, I do a lot of, you know, self-inventory, self-analysis of evaluating myself. What do I like still? What don't I like after 2 years? And there's a number of things that I like. Then there's some things that I say, hey, as I continue to grow and I continue to evolve, now I keep coming across some new thoughts, some new that have become my now part of my philosophy moving forward. And that's what I would hope that everyone in our building, that's the growth mindset of our building, that as I grow and learn and develop, that makes our team better. And I expect that I will continue to evolve and grow, and then with that our team will continue to evolve and grow, and we'll continue to on this climb that we're on. And as I mentioned the other day to a couple guys, the older I've gotten, the more I love to learn. And not just football, but learn about life, learn about leadership, learn about other people. And I think that's a good quality. And so being in Buffalo has allowed me the opportunity to do that and then use that, you know, in my job. I just think that, you know, I keep coming back to the same words. Gratitude, humility, perspective, mental toughness, you know, serving others, competition, just the same words when you talk about highly successful teams, highly successful individuals. Over the years, you know, people get away from those ingredients, and I keep coming back to those as a foundation for success.
Your staff, you really surrounded yourself with really experienced guys, older guys that have been in the league, head coaches. As your staff turns over a little bit, there's some fresh younger guys that are coming. Is that because you feel more comfortable where you are, that you're able to do that, and you don't have to necessarily surround yourself with the guys who've been there and done that, you have to lean on as much?
Yeah, that's very true. I don't know if a lot of guys would admit that, but I think that's part of it, Sal. Look, there were certain positions when I came in that as a first-time head coach, I've seen it gone bad in a hurry if you don't have an experienced X position coach or that, you know. So I wanted that early on. And then as you grow and evolve and you continue to know where you're going as an organization, then at the end of the day, when I wake up, if I don't feel like I can answer the question of, hey, can we win a Super Bowl, then we've got to do something, either A, develop that person, or B, move on. And so that's why we're here. We're here to win a Super Bowl, bring a Super Bowl world championship to Buffalo, and do it the right way. And the older I've gotten now in this business, in this job in particular, the more comfortable I am of developing our guys, right? I was developed with Andy Reid years ago. I was given an opportunity in Philadelphia, and then to me it's what you do with it. And so we've gone a little bit younger in some positions, and maybe that's where you're going, Sal, with offensive line and wide receiver in particular. And those guys have the DNA that I feel like, you know, will allow them to grow and develop. Yeah, we may be giving up something a little bit early, special teams the same way, but when you look at energy, smart, tough, willing to work, I think those are great, great qualities to build off of.
So, Leslie,
what type of growth do you expect from Josh Allen this coming year? What kind of expectation?
Yeah, I expect him to do his job, and I expect him to do his job and all that means, including the added leadership responsibility that comes with being the face of the franchise at the quarterback position. I'm not going to put big expectations on Josh. I don't believe that that's important. I think for him to come in, do his job, continue to develop and grow, and he's got a long list of areas that he needs to improve on. There's also a long list of things that he did well, and I'm excited to get him back in Buffalo.
I want to ask you about Leslie and how important and how strong your relationship must be with him. With everything that happened early last year, and people talked about play calling and all that, yet you guys got through it together. He's still with you. How important is that you trust and have loyalty there between each other?
Yeah, Leslie's a pro. He's a pro. Our relationship runs deep. We've been around each other a long time, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for Leslie as a person, number one, and as a football coach, number two. And the part of the great part about how we work in Buffalo is we help each other. And so there's times where I've helped him, and in particular in the early part of the season. There's times, a tremendous amount of times, where he's helped me from a defensive standpoint as well. So the great part about what we do is we're able to share openly, and I don't really care. We don't care where the idea comes from or who gets the credit. It's more about the result in terms of, let's just focus on that. Let's all be Monday through Saturday focused on what's going to get us to the result we're looking for on Sunday. And when you serve others in that way like Leslie does, and when you put the team first like Leslie does, that's a good thing.
Obviously rosters aren't complete, but Rob Gronkowski retiring, when you prepare for the Patriots, safe to say that'll change the way you prepare for them?
Well, like I said earlier, I'll wait and see if that remains true all the way through the season. That said, he's a tough matchup. He, you know, future Hall of Famer for a reason, right? So, when you look at the combination of size and speed, and to me it seemed like he was one of Tom's guys that he went to when he needed a play. And so that speaks for itself, really.
Sure.
Sean, where's your level of patience with the pace and where you guys are in this process, understanding how competitive you are, while also still continuing to take into account you and other factors that along with building this thing, how you want it to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I don't even know if this is a phrase or a word, but responsibly non-patient. Responsibly non-patient, right? I mean, it's like calculated aggressiveness, right? I mean, we want to win, and we want to, but I also have a responsibility to do it the right way to Terry and Kim and to the fans of the Buffalo Bills, because because of, number one, the way I believe and my philosophy and with Brandon, but also what's gone on for years of just the why was there a 17 to 18 year drought? Let's just start there, right? So, and not looking back too much and trying to, there was a lot of good coaches in that time and GMs, but like, we're going to do things a certain way that I know lead to winning. And sometimes that takes a little bit of patience, as much as I want it right now, like every fan in Buffalo. To do it the right way, you've got to really be a steward of the opportunity and the organization. And that's what I feel like I try and be every day.
Where on the timeline do you think you are to be maybe closer to the sustained success of it, or to the still building the foundation?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think there's a lot. Listen, we're in the, like I said earlier, alluded to, this is the time of year where everyone throws things against the wall and expectations and projections of where they are. And like, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here. We're in end of March, getting ready for the draft, and kind of, you know, through the middle of free agency at this point. And so it's a day at a time process. And I think we just can, like we do in the season, try and win one game at a time. We're going to try and win one day at a time. And we've got a lot of work to do, so I'm anxious to get the guys back in Buffalo and put some good work in. Yeah, I mean, without getting too like personal with some of the conversations Kyle and I have had, he's been a great sounding board for me, along with some of the other players, older players that we have, but Kyle in particular, because like you mentioned, he was in Buffalo when it wasn't right. I think if you would ask Kyle where we are now versus where maybe it was before, and I'll let him answer that, but I feel rather confident he'd tell you things are different in the better, all right, for the better. So, and I've like I do with a lot of my players, I ask for their opinions on things at the end of the year. Hey, what did you like? What didn't you like? To me, that's how you give them ownership, A, but you also look to find best practices in what we're doing. I'm a big believer in staying ahead of the curve and being out in front of trends and finding better ways to do things, asking why, even if, like this offseason, we've taken a lot of time and vetted out our practice schedule in the three different areas, spring, training camp, and the season. We've taken a lot of time and vetted out our itinerary in spring, which is, we're a little bit handcuffed in spring, but more so in training camp and the season, making sure that we're trying to get the most out of our days, you know, and also keep the players rested and fed and giving them a chance to recover between practices and training camp. So, you know, I probably drive my people crazy just asking why, even though we feel like we've got a good schedule, maybe that's the feedback I've gotten. Well, why? Tell me why it's good. Tell me why we feel like it's one of the best in the NFL. I want to know. And so I think you've got to be willing to ask those tough questions and also be willing to listen when maybe the answer is not what you want. And so that's part of the growth mindset as well.
Sean, when you and Brandon first came in the door, one of the things that was important to the organization was the relationship between head coach and GM to work with using him. How have you seen that relationship with Brandon grow, and you guys have made continuous big decision after big decision to shape the roster on the side of the team?
Yeah, I mean, you hear about it, as I prepare to be a head coach, you sit at symposiums, you listen to people that have been in that seat before, and they'll tell you you need to have someone that becomes a marriage with, and that is in fact true. 2 years into it now, that's a big piece, you know, because there's, much like a marriage, you know, you're in and you go through really good days and you go through days that are challenging. You go through adversity, and the willingness to stick together, the willingness to work together, the willingness to communicate, keep those lines of communication open, that gets challenged day in and day out. And who gets the credit just let's just start there. Who gets the credit when we win? When we went to the playoffs in year one, who got the credit? Well, you know, you see that sometimes go, well, I didn't get my fair share of the credit. And you know, so over the course of time, I believe that our trust has continued to grow. And I would say the same with our leadership team, with Terry and Kim as well, that we go through experiences together. That continuity over the course of time has only made our bond stronger. And really, that's part of knowing our team. Like we talk about our team, our players knowing each other. It's also part of us knowing each other and where we want to go, having those tough conversations that are going to lead to future success.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.